I had a little something on my heart a couple weeks ago when I was driving to work, and felt like when the Lord gave me the thought, Guthrie just kind of stood out in my mind. So I made plans, talked to my wife, and we made plans to come this way. But then when I got here, I was praying to the Lord about some things, and I feel like He pulled that thought away from me. And I was kind of relieved a little bit. Not that I'm trying to shy away from doing His work, but I thought maybe this is just one of those times that I could come and listen. And but the last day or so, we plan on leaving after service tonight, and I felt like He just wanted me to leave y'all with a thought with His help. I will be very honest with you. I am way out of my comfort zone. I would still much rather be sitting in that bench there and listening to someone else speak. But I'm depending on the Lord, and I'm depending on your prayers. I'd like to write the thought on the board. I've wrote fleeing Jesus. I know that can be a very sobering, maybe a disturbing thought. But before we give too much thought to that, and before we let our minds go to that, I'd like to think about something else just for a minute. I'd like to think about relationships. And more specifically, relationships with the Lord. You know, we can start in Genesis and probably go through about every book there is in this Bible and find a Bible story with a name that we know, and we can somehow try to take and relate that to our lives today and see the relationship that person may have had with the Lord. And I'm not discrediting any character in the Bible. But when I think of relationships with the Lord, I'm thinking more specifically with Jesus. With Jesus Himself in his physical body. And I think of the disciples and the relationships He had with those disciples. So if we could, let's turn to Matthew. Just remind ourselves. Matthew 4. Just a couple verses here, Matthew 4 and 18. The start of a relationship. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. In his ship was Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed Him." So the start of what I would call a beautiful relationship. I love how this verse says, they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And then that last verse says, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. How true is that? That if we want to be the Lord's disciples, that's what we're going to have to do in our lives. We're going to have to drop whatever we're doing. No matter what time it is, no matter what time of day, no matter what time of night it is. If we want to be his disciple, we're going to have to immediately drop what we're doing to follow after him. So the start to a relationship, I believe Jesus knew what lied ahead. He knew what the plan was. He knew that the suffering that was going to be required of him to go through. And I believe he was looking for someone that he could teach, someone that was teachable, someone that wanted to learn, someone that he could love, someone that he could show love, someone that he could leave some things behind, someone that could carry on the truth, someone that could spread the word about who he was and what he stands for and what he means, what he represents, after it was his time to move on. And to he was looking for somebody steadfast, somebody true. And I believe this is just the few disciples he called out, but I believe that's what Jesus was looking here for, somebody he could depend upon. So thinking about the time he spent with them, sometimes I think about if you allow me just the liberty to read between the lines maybe, and just thinking about all the stories we read in Jesus and his disciples, and thinking about their day-to-day activities, thinking about their one-on-one conversations. Sometimes I wonder if maybe after a long, hard day of preaching and teaching, did they sit around in a circle in the evening and kick their feet up and just talk about some things, and just conversations. Maybe some tears were shed, but just that relationship that they had with him. The other day, me and my family were sitting around in the living room there at our home, having family worship, and I guess the topic was maybe, I don't know if we had a topic. We were just discussing what Jesus can mean to you, and the different experiences that saints we have known in the past, and how they have experienced him, and how we can experience him. We can all experience him in different ways. Some of my experiences, I've told there a couple there in the local congregation that sometimes the Lord speaks to me driving down the road on my way to work without a Bible in my hand. And I can sometimes get more out of that than I can sometimes reading the scriptures. And it's just the way he reveals himself to me. And just talking about how you hear from different ones, how he's so real. I mean, it feels like you have a physical person there in a room or there in a vehicle with you. And one of my boys said, they said, "Well, Dad," they said, What can I do to have that experience? I want to have that experience." Well, that thrilled my heart. It was great to hear, and I do. I thank the Lord for that. But I told him, I said, "Son," I said, it's got to be more than I want to. You know, it's got to be more than, well, I just see somebody else having that experience, and I want that too. But we've got to do the things necessary to have that experience. It's more than a want to. It's a relationship. And we've got to do the things necessary to have that relationship, to maintain that relationship and keep that relationship, whatever that means, whatever that requires of us, whether that's our daily prayers, our daily worship, whether it's moving out to where he wants us, whatever it is he requires of me, to maintain that relationship. So relationships with the Lord. So keeping in mind the disciples, how he mentored them, how he taught them, how he helped them, keep that in your mind. Something comes to mind when I think of help. I think of, before we move on, I think of Peter. Remember when Peter walked on the water? And Jesus called unto him, and Peter went. And Peter, what an awesome experience that must have been. Peter standing right there side by side with Jesus, or maybe right in front of him, looking at him. And then what did Peter do? He let his eyes wander off, looked down, became fearful. But what did Jesus do? Jesus helped. He reached out his hand and pulled Peter to him. Say, oh, you have little faith. Come on, I'm paraphrasing. Look, let me help you. But the help he offered to them in everything he did for them. So moving on to fleeing Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 26. I do have a little bit of reading here. I know that can get tedious, but I ask you to bear with me. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Very familiar story. Very sad and sober story. Read verse 36 down through 56. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pause there for a moment. I think of Peter there. Was that really too much to ask? That Peter just stay up and watch with him 1 hour? To the other disciples, can y'all watch with me 1 hour? I've told y'all what I'm fixing to go through. Y'all know what I'm fixing to experience. Guys, come on. Give me a little bit more of your time. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up thy sword, put up again thy sword, into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye lay no hold on me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It's easy to read a story and see it as just a story. But if you can, for just a few minutes, when I read a story, I like to try to put myself in the story. And if it's possible, I ask that you would just put yourself, if you can, with your mind, with your thoughts, in the garden that night with Jesus. To observe. To see maybe what he saw. A very sad scene. Something that we know had to take place, that Jesus knew had to take place. It was part of the plan, but still, a very, very sad and sobering and a very mournful, dark scene to behold. I think of the agony that Jesus must have been in. One other book says his tears were as drops of blood. The agony his mind must have been in, what he was feeling. I know we can't comprehend what he was going through, what he felt. But to look up at that very moment that those men come in to surround him, to look up and to see those that you have loved, that you have gave your time, your attention, your love to, you have dedicated your everything you had to leave with them things, truth, those you have helped, those you grabbed by the arm and pulled up out of the water, those you sat around in the evenings and talked to and cried with. You look up and you see them all taken off. I don't know. I read this, and when the Lord gave me this thought, it touched my heart. Those that Jesus had wanted to begin a relationship with, those he had went and called out to, those that had dropped everything, put everything to the side, and said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Well, come on, let's go." And they take off running. They drop what they're doing. And they go, and what do? They follow the Lord. Great. I'm glad they did it. They had every good intention, and thank the Lord they did that. But at this very moment, they had to make a decision. Am I going to stand here with the Lord? Or am I going to take off and run? Put yourself, if you can, there. If you allow me the liberty to, I don't want to take away from the scriptures, but I wonder what Jesus thought when he looked up and he saw those men running away. I wonder, did he say, John, where are you going? You're the one I said I loved. You're my beloved disciple. John, surely you can stay with me just a few more minutes. Peter, you said you loved me. You said it three times. Peter, surely you can stay here just for a few more minutes. Just stay with me, Peter. Just a little bit longer, Peter. Why did they flee? I couldn't find anywhere that gave a reason. Well, I say, this scripture here. I did not research and look at the other books. I could not find anywhere where it says why they fled, why they took off, why they abandoned, why they forsook him. But if you allow me to read between the lines, I wonder if it was fear. That 47th verse says, "And a great multitude with swords, staves, knives, weapons, spears." I wonder if it was fear. I think it was fear. I think it was fear that led them to make their decision to leave it all behind at that very moment and run the other direction. I think it was fear that they looked and they saw what was happening to Jesus. They knew what was going to happen to Jesus. And they were going to do everything possible to not let themselves get in that same situation. What would you have done? It's easy for me to stand here and look at that situation and put my finger on John and put my finger on Peter and say, "Guys, what are y'all thinking? Look, man, look at everything he did for you. Peter, look at the time he pulled you up out of the water. Look at the power he gave y'all to work miracles. Look at what y'all did. Look at what he did for you. Look at the time he spent with you. Guys, how can y'all do this? Look at the situation you're leaving him in by himself. Guys, y'all can't hang out with him for a few more minutes." But would I have done the same thing? It's easy for me to stand here and say, "Well, I would have done it different. I would have stood by the Lord. I've said I love the Lord." You know, it's easy to say I love the Lord. Peter said it 3 times. But when it come time to put it into action, what happened? We've heard the messages. It's easy to say I love the Lord. It can be easy to raise your hand in church. It's easy to go to church every Sunday morning. It can be. We've heard it over and over and over. But there's got to be something to back that up. There's got to be something to when my world gets shaken up, as it's going to, that I'm still going to have the determination to stand by Jesus, what he represents, stand for truth, stand for what I believe in, and not take off running. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that Peter meant what he said when he said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." He said it 3 times. It sounded like he kind of got irritated a little bit, like he was being bothered by the Lord asking him. I have no doubt in my mind that Peter meant it with everything he had. I have no doubt in my mind that all these disciples love the Lord with all their heart. And I believe Peter had something. I believe he had something. I believe he loved the Lord. I look over this crowd tonight and I see faces that have loved the Lord a very, very long time. I've been around the saints all my life. I've heard the testimonies all my life. I know we love the Lord, and we claim we love the Lord and thank the Lord for that. But can disciples, and we want to call ourselves disciples, don't we? Can disciples begin to abandon the Lord? And to flee from the Lord? Evidently they can. These disciples begin to flee from the Lord. And again, I think it was because of fear. Fear from what? Fears from, as I've already stated, "Lord, I see what you're fixing to go through, and I don't think I want to go through that. Lord, I don't mind doing this over here, That's more of my expertise. But Lord, I don't know if I want to do that over there. Lord, if I go do that, and I might get laughed at, I might get poked at, I might get made fun of. Lord, don't ask me to do that. But look, I'll go do this over here. Fears of, I see the saints living this way, and I don't think I want to follow all the rules and all the rules and the regulations that they are bound to, all the rules that they're bound to, and that's my hands would kind of be tied, and I don't know if I can do that. Fears of what I might have to give up. Fears of, Lord, I hear the saints preaching on this and they're preaching on that, and man, that's a big part of my life. I just don't know if I can do that. Fears of not having a good time. Lord, help us to stand for the truth. Stand for what's right. Don't let fears cause us. Don't let areas in our life cause us to abandon and flee the Lord. You know, I can be strong and I can be on fire in this area of my life. But Lord, help me if I got this area that isn't quite where it needs to be. Is this area causing me not to be able to stand right there by Jesus? You know, I wonder how many times in those few years that the Lord got to spend with His disciples, I wonder how many times He walked up and put His arm around old Brother John or Brother Peter or Brother James and spoke words of comfort, spoke words of love. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do to us. But it's going to be hard for Jesus to do that to us, put His arm around us, wrap His arms around us. It's going to be hard for Him to... It's going to be hard for us to have that relationship with Him and maintaining that relationship if we have something in our lives that's causing us to run the other direction. The Lord wants us right here. And if all of He's seeing is our backs running the other direction, how can we expect to maintain the relationship and benefit from being right there by Him? Maybe you've never experienced that relationship. Maybe you've never been close to Him where you felt His arm around you. Maybe you've always seen it from a distance. It's okay to run if you run to Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you've never been in that place, run to Jesus. Run to Him. If you've been in that place, and I hope every one of us is in that place, but if you're not in that place and you find yourself running, I think of the story of the prodigal son. That son ran. What happened? He turned around. And he ran back the other direction. And what happened? His father was standing there with open arms. Jesus wants you to run. He does. But he wants you to run to him. Because I'm going to tell you, just as he pulled Peter, just as he helped Peter, just as he had those relationships with the disciples, it's the same relationships that he wants to have with us. I said earlier that sometimes I get a little jealous sometimes when I think of the one-on-one that the disciples got to spend with Jesus. And it kind of, I think about it often. Man, they got to see him. Man, they got to touch him. They got to actually feel his arm around their shoulder, I'm sure. But you know, I think about that. And we can have those same relationships today. How many times have you felt the Lord's arm around you and it felt like we know he was right there. Don't let there be things in your life that are causing you to go the other direction. Be able to stand there. You know, I wonder when the disciples were running, I wonder if they were able to look back. You know? I don't think I would have been able to. Because I realized what Jesus must have felt. And I don't know if I could have looked in his face knowing that was the direction I was headed. Don't let there be things in your life that keep you looking down at the ground, so to speak. But let there be things that you can say, Jesus, I'm right here with you on this. Lord, I want to stand on this. I want to stand on this thing you gave me. Saints, ones that have been here for years and have loved the Lord for years, we have things to stand on. Promises. We heard about it this morning. Healings. The way he works with us. Stand on those things. Let your mind go back and remember those things. Remember those times he's been there for you. Remember those times he has pulled you out. And don't run away from those things. Don't start fleeing from those things. But stand on those things. Stand on those promises. I ask you again tonight, what would you have done if you were there that night? Would you have let fear take over? Are you letting fear take over in certain areas of your life? Be careful. Saints, ones that are experienced, ones that love the Lord. Because I think we see what can happen. Disciples can begin to flee from Jesus. They did. They loved him with all their hearts. I believe that. And I believe we can love the Lord with all our hearts. But I think we need to be very careful that we don't allow whatever it is, whether it's fears, whatever it is, allow things into our life that's going to cause me to run the other direction. Y'all pray for me.